Please turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. And verses 47 and 48. Matthew 13, verses 47 and 48. And these words. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. And our subject this morning is the parable of the dragnet, the parable of the dragnet. Well, this is a parable of the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, and those of you who attend our evening services on the Lord's Day will know that we are going through a series on the parables, but I thought it would be good to look at a parable in our Sunday morning service, not just to encourage you to come along to the evening service and hear about these glorious parables, but because these parables, well, as we have seen, they're so full of evangelistic application and appeal, so full of the riches of the gospel, even in a very brief parable such as we have before us. And I'm sure these things will be a great blessing to us and of great edification even to those who already know the Lord. Now, this parable, same as with several of the parables in this chapter, as we read in our second scripture reading this morning, you will notice that this parable begins with the words, "The kingdom of heaven is like." The kingdom of heaven. And as I've mentioned, this begins. The start of many parables have these words, "The kingdom of heaven is like." And in other words, what the Lord is saying is that these parables, well, they will describe to you what the kingdom of heaven is like. They will illustrate to you the kingdom of heaven. But of course, what is the kingdom of heaven? What does the Lord mean when he says this? And it is a term that is often used by the Lord, even in his preaching ministry. When Christ preached, he would say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." But what is this kingdom of heaven? Well, one of the things it most certainly includes and means is the gospel age. The kingdom of heaven is the gospel age. The time from the coming of Christ, from the incarnation of Christ to the very end of the world. From the time of Christ to the very end of all things. The gospel age, the kingdom of heaven. And what these parables show to us, they give us great insight into what this age will be like. How will the gospel be preached? What effect will it have on people? How will people hear it? That is what these parables illustrate to us. Some of these parables show us how the gospel will bring people together. But some of these parables also show us how the gospel will divide people. This is what the gospel age will be like. This is what the kingdom of heaven will be like. And this is what these parables show. And in fact, this parable that we will consider this morning very briefly, this is one of those parables that will show us how the gospel will ultimately divide people. The gospel will ultimately divide people. The Lord in this parable points to a great and coming day when the angels of heaven will separate the children of God from the children of this world, those who are saved from those who are unsaved. There will be a great division one day, a great and coming day called the Day of Judgment. The Lord Jesus Christ speaks about the day of judgment very clearly in this parable and elsewhere. And of course, we have to think about the day of judgment. There are so many churches, particularly nowadays, they never speak about the day of judgment. It's like they're scared. You can spend many years in some churches and never even hear about a day of judgment. You watch some of these Christian TV channels. Well, so much of this Christian TV, it's entertainment, just like any other TV channel. That's what it's there for, really. It's not really educational. It's entertainment, to entertain Christian people. But you watch these programs, they very, very rarely mention a day of judgment when the children of God will be separated from the children of this world, from those who are unsaved. And it is so unlike the Bible. The Bible compels us to think about this day, so important, a day that must come, a day that we must all be ready for, the day of judgment, the day when we all have to stand before God. And this is why the Lord speaks about this day in this parable and many times in this gospel alone. So this is what the kingdom of heaven is pointing us to. But what is this kingdom of heaven likened to in this parable? Well, it's a very simple illustration. Verse 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind. The kingdom of heaven is like a net, like a dragnet or a draw net. It's like a net cast by a fisherman. A net cast a little distance from the shore, and a dragnet, well, it would be thrown and cast out, and it would have floats so that the net could float on the top, and weights at the bottom so that the net would sink down, and it would form a kind of wall in the water so that it would make its catch, a wall that would close in at both ends and the catch could be made. And of course, well, this was a familiar scene in Galilee. We know that a large part of the population at Galilee were employed as fishermen in that time. We know that some of the Lord's disciples were fishermen. Simon Peter and Andrew, his brother, they were fishermen. And remember how the Lord called them, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." Fishers of men. The Lord was saying to them, no longer will you catch fish. You will now, through your service to God, through your witness, through your testimony, through your preaching of the gospel, you will now draw men and women into the kingdom of God. You will draw men and women closer to God through the preaching of the gospel. You will be fishers of men. And that's what happens when somebody preaches the gospel. When I, for example, preach the gospel, it is as though I'm throwing out a great net into this place to draw people closer to God. That is what the kingdom of heaven is like. That is what the gospel is like. When someone preaches, it's like throwing out a net. In anything we do, when we reach out to this community, when we go out knocking on doors to this community, it's like we're throwing out a net, throwing out the gospel to draw people in, to hear the word of God. And this is a wonderful thing. The gospel is not meant to be kept to ourselves. I've known people from other religions, people who have been friends of mine. And, you know, no matter how long I've known them, they've never been overly keen to speak about their religion. I've known Buddhists, but they've never really been keen to share their religion with me. They don't really want to talk about it. I've never had a Buddhist come and knock on my door to share their faith. I've never had a Hindu knock on the door and say, "Oh, I want to tell you about Hinduism." I've never had that. It's just a Christian who does that. A Christian who has to go out and throw that net out, as it were, This is the nature of the Christian faith. Christ himself gave us that great commission. It's a commandment of the Lord. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The gospel is an invitation. It's an invitation. If you have an invitation, you don't keep it to yourself. You present it to people. And that's what the gospel is. An invitation. Come and see and taste that the Lord is good. So this dragnet, it's a worthy illustration of the gospel. And note, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind. We're called to share the gospel with every kind of people. No discrimination at all. This is the glory of the gospel. The gospel is extended to people from every background, every language, every nation, every tribe, open to everybody. You invite your friends, you invite your enemies, you invite the very young, you invite the very old, you invite those who have everything, those who are rich, high in status, great jobs, and you invite those who are the lowest of the low. Those perhaps who have been cut off from society, in prison. Those who have committed great crimes, unspeakable things. Do we prevent them from the gospel? Do we say, oh no, we don't go out to those because they've done terrible things, they're evil people? No, you go particularly to them. You rush out to them to tell them about the God of grace who can forgive all sin, every sin. This is the gospel that we know and that we love, this great net that is thrown out into the world. And this is why the Lord Jesus Christ describes the kingdom of heaven, the gospel age, like this. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind. But then look at verse 48, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. Well, this would have been the case with any net that was used for fishing. They would have brought it to shore, but the net, well, it would have produced a mixed catch. Not only would it have brought in fish, but there would have been other things that weren't meant to be caught. There would have been seaweed and stones and driftwood and even rubbish and so on. And so when the net was brought in, the fish that was good had to be separated from the rubbish and the things that they didn't need. There was a great separation. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, he likens this to what will happen at the end of the world. So verse 48 again, which when it was full, this net, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. Just as the fish in the net is separated from the rubbish, well, at the end of the world, the just will be separated from the wicked. The angels of God himself will do that great separating. Now let's be clear. Let's look at these two groups. Who are those who are just? Well, the just are those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They are those who trust that the Lord Jesus Christ, he is their righteousness. They don't trust in their own righteousness. The Lord Jesus Christ, he's my righteousness. He's the sinless Son of God. It's because of him that I will go into heaven. Those are the just, and they believe too that Christ died on the cross at Calvary. When he died on that cross, he died for my sin. So he took the punishment upon himself for my sin, so I know I'm forgiven. I know there is no condemnation for me at the very end. These people are accepted by God because of their faith. They are justified by faith, not by their works, not because they're good people, but because they trust in the one who is good. They trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. They are the just that we read of here, and they are the ones who will enter into eternal life and glory. But who are the wicked? Who are the wicked? And well, I'm going to present to you two categories of people who are included in the wicked. And this will be a great challenge to us, I am sure. First of all, of course, there are those who hear the gospel and reject it. Those who hear about God, about his holiness, those who hear about man and his sin, about their need of forgiveness, those who hear about the coming judgment and they reject it. They say to themselves, oh, I don't believe that at all. You can keep that with yourself, preacher, pastor. I don't believe any of those things. Well, in a very real and tragic way, I have to say to you, it doesn't matter if you believe it or not. Doesn't matter if you believe it, because that day will surely come. Just because you don't believe it, don't think that there's no judgment for you. Whether you believe it or not, you will still be brought before God, who is your creator and who has given you life. Just like a fish is caught in a net and dragged in, you will be brought before God. Doesn't matter whether you believe it or not, there is still a day of judgment for you. And you won't have any excuse. You won't have any excuse at all. You've heard the gospel. You've heard it so many times, perhaps. You've heard it very clearly. And yet you still rejected it. You won't have any excuse at all on that day. So that's the first group of people. Those who have heard it many times and say, oh, I just reject it. Oh, I don't believe it. You're still included. You'll still be there on that day. And we have to make that very clear. But there is another group. And perhaps this is most challenging of all. There will be those people who heard the gospel and were attracted to it, but for all the wrong reasons, with all the wrong motives. There will be people who were not sincere. They were not true believers. And sadly, they will be counted amongst those who will be lost. You know, there was even one such person amongst the 12 disciples. There was one such person like this. You think of the 12 disciples, all of them heard the words of Christ. All of them followed him. All of them listened to him, but there was one who was not sincere. There was one who followed him out of the wrong motives, Judas Iscariot. One who was in the net, as it were, followed the people of God, but he was not of them. He was the son of perdition. He was not a child of God. There was even one amongst the disciples. And sadly, there will be many on that day who are just like him. They followed the people of God, but they were not of the people of God. And we have to examine ourselves. Are there any here who are like that? People, well, you come along, but not for the right reasons. Maybe there are other reasons. Maybe you come just because, well, you like the company, your friends are here. It's just a social thing for you. You're not really interested in God. Perhaps you come because your family are here. Children come just because their parents are here. Parents come just because their children like it. Their children like coming to church. But the parents are not actually interested in anything that God has to say to them. Well, if you are like that, one day you will be found out. you will most certainly be found out. You know, these things remind me of a very shameful episode in my childhood. When I was a child, I was in a recorder club at school. Do you know what a recorder is? It's a musical instrument, a wind instrument. It's a bit like a flute, but slightly different. But anyway, I was in the recorder club at school, and I had a recorder. I bought one. But there was one problem. I was in the recorder club, but I didn't know how to play it. And I didn't have any interest in learning how to play it. I just liked being in the recorder club. The teachers would tell me, well, you have to go and practice at home. But when I went home, I would never practice. Not interested. I'm not interested in playing the recorder. I just like being in the club. And you know, the amazing thing was, I don't know how I got away with it, but I got away with this for weeks, months. I would go to the rehearsals, I'd even play in the school assembly, but I was just blagging it, I was just pretending. I was pretending to blow into the instrument, and I'd move my fingers so as if to suggest I was playing. But I got away with it for so long, until one day, the teacher, the head teacher, she was suspicious, she must have been, she called me in, and she forced me to give a solo in front of everybody. And I remember this to this day. I looked at that piece of music. I could play the first two notes. And the rest of it, I was absolutely lost. And I was exposed. I was ashamed. And of course, it goes without saying, I was thrown out of that recorder club. Well, I say this because, is this like you? You're part of the club. You come to the church, but you're not really interested in what the preacher has to say. You're not interested in the Bible. You don't go home and read the Bible. You never pray. But you like being part of the club. Is that you? Dear friends, you're going to be found out one day. You can fool perhaps most of the people most of the time. You can get away with it for many months, even years. But this parable teaches us at the very end, God will know. And there will be a separation. Sadly, we read earlier in this gospel, many will come to the Lord saying, Lord, Lord, did I not do this? Did I not do that? And the Lord Jesus Christ will say to them, depart from me. I never knew you. You were pretending the whole time. Yes, you were in church. Yes, you sang the hymns. But I never knew you. Dear friends, this is very serious. The pretense will be over on that day. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. So very serious. In verse 51, Jesus saith unto them, have ye understood all these things? Dear friends, do you understand? Do you understand? The Christian religion is not an empty, nominal religion. It's not just about church going and hymn singing and meeting people. Do you understand? It's a personal relationship with Christ. It's about a life-changing work in the heart and in the soul. It's about a dying to oneself. The old person that you were has died. And now you have been born again, a new creation in Christ. Do you understand all these things? Do you understand that you must confess your sin and receive the forgiveness of sin and have full assurance, certain hope of eternal life? Do you understand the Lord Jesus Christ says to us? Don't remain ignorant and foolish. How I pray that the Lord grants you understanding of all these things Well, I must conclude, but let me just leave you with something else. A friend of mine, a good Christian brother, he once told me about some advice that his mother gave him. His mother was a good Christian woman, and when he was in his teens, he was seeking after the Lord. And his mother could see that he was seeking after the Lord. But his mother gave him some very good advice. She said to him, "If you come to the Lord, you must give everything to God. Don't come as a half-hearted, nominal Christian. If you're going to do it wholeheartedly. Don't come half-heartedly, because there's no blessing in that. There's no joy in that. There's no peace in that. There's no worth in that at all. I would rather you wouldn't come at all if you're going to do it just half-heartedly. You come and give yourself entirely or not at all." And that is the advice that I want to leave with anyone who is seeking after God today. I would rather you didn't come at all. If you're just going to be a half-hearted, nominal, outward Christian, I'd rather you didn't waste your time. Because what's the point of being religious if you're only going to be cast out at the end? If Christ is only going to take one look at you and cast you out at the end, don't waste your time being a nominal, half-hearted, lukewarm Christian. If you're going to be a Christian, give yourself entirely to the Lord. And then you'll know the blessing. Then you'll know true joy and peace. The gospel is an invitation to do just that, to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. And then you'll know tremendous blessing. And then you'll know what it is to be loved by God. These things are so very important. May the Lord bless it to each and every one of us. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our God, our gracious Heavenly Father, oh dear Lord, how we pray that thou wouldest work in the hearts of each and every one of us. Lord, we have heard very clearly that there is a judgment awaiting every one of us that we cannot avoid. Whether we believe it or not, there is only one God with whom we have to do, and thou shalt know at the very end who is true and who is not. O Lord, may we all, each one, come sincerely and give our whole lives to thee and our whole hearts. And O Lord, confess our sin, that we may be forgiven afresh all our sin. Lord, bless us each one, we pray. We ask it all in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.